Hello there, and welcome to the Man Panel. I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm so excited and honored to be partnering with some of my favorite men on the planet to bring you this series. And I'm so happy that you're here because you get to tap into the wisdom and the heartfelt advice and love that these men are expressing for the women in this audience, because I know they're here to serve you deeply. And I'm really excited today to feature one of my favorite guests and a dear friend of mine and colleague, and that's the wonderful Johnny Fernandez. Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I'm really honored to be here and glad to connect with all of you who are watching now.
Thank you so much, Johnny. And I have a lot of really great questions that I want to ask you today and to have the opportunity to tap into your wisdom once again. Before we do that, though, I want to just give a little bit more of a formal introduction. I know so many of the women here are so familiar with you and your lovely wife, Laura, and your work. But in case there's someone here who may not be as familiar, we'll just do the formal intro before we jump in. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. Dr. Laura Fernandez and Johnny Fernandez are a soulmate couple whose mission is to empower single conscious women through their relationships. Dr. Laura and Johnny teach that when a woman owns her own power, speaks her truth about herself and her life, and has healthy beliefs and behaviors around relationships, then soulmate love becomes her destiny. Women from all over the world learn with Johnny and Laura through their deeply transformational and life-changing courses and programs that help women live the life of their dreams with their soulmate by their side. They have personally worked with thousands of women over the past 10 years, and their yearly Love Breakthrough Weekend attracts conscious women from all over the world to the San Francisco Bay Area of California. They've been happily married for over 17 years and live in a small town in the Bay Area with their independent, creative, and I'll add beautiful daughter, Isabel, and sweet dog, Bean. So welcome once again, Johnny.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So I want to ask you some questions today that I know are common questions that come up for a lot of women. And I really want to tap into your experience and your perspective. So the first one is, Johnny, I know that you say that you work with, conscious women throughout the world. What do you feel are some of the biggest and most common challenges that women face around this area of finding love, meeting the right man, attracting a soulmate?
I think that's a great question. I think a lot of what we see is a little bit too much focus on pushing to make something happen and not finding a healthy masculine feminine balance in that. Because in a work situation, you've got to push and make things happen. And we understand that for most people, most men and women, you're in a masculine work environment. But then in your personal life, there needs to be a personal life, first of all. And then there needs to be some feminine drawing in power. And a lot of women, just like a lot of men, have lost touch with that healthy masculine feminine dynamic. And what that shows up like in your personal life is that you're either pushing to make something happen. So you want a certain one tip, you want a certain one line to make him do this or that or something like that. Or you're like have a not healthy, balanced, mature idea of what is feminine. And so you have the idea of to be feminine is to just sit back and just like basically do nothing and let things just come to you. And neither one of those are actually healthy or going to get you the kind of love that you really want as a modern, probably professional, accomplished woman. Not that you're like, you know, the CEO of General Motors or something, but just that you've done some things, you have some success in your life, and it's like, whoops, I forgot to actually have success in my personal life. And so how do I make that happen? And so getting into that healthy masculine feminine dynamic is really important, because you can't approach it the same way you do your work life, and you can't approach your love life the same way you did when you were in your 20s. I'm going to assume, like a lot of women we work with, they're in 30s, 40s, or you know, older than that. And so if you're approaching your love life in the same way you did when you were in your 20s, that's just not going to work when you're ready to find your husband. It works for getting a date. I'm sure you can get a date, but it doesn't really work. So learning a healthy feminine dynamic where you draw in the right guy, and you start with what we call being your own soulmate first, so that you can then attract your soulmate. The biggest thing we see is that a lot of women are just really out of touch with that masculine feminine dynamic. And a lot of times way too masculine in their approach to love, and it attracts, you know, weirdos or guys who are just like, oh, won't he just step up? Well, the reason is because you attracted the wrong type of guy to begin with, because there's a lot of great guys out there that are, they don't have to be told to step up. That's just who they are. But you're missing them if you're not in a healthy masculine feminine dynamic in your life, because they're going for someone else. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is so true and so important. So I just want to follow up with a couple of questions here. How do women know if they're operating more in that masculine energy in their personal lives? I mean, they may know that they're very goal-oriented and outcome-focused in their professional lives, but how do they know that that might be out of balance in their personal lives? What are some signs, or how do they recognize that in themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. The easiest way to do it, and is in some ways the most painful, is to look at your results. Meaning, like, what are the type of and quality of men that I'm attracting? Am I attracting guys that want to be mothered? They want someone to clean up after them. They want, like, they're fixer-upper projects, right? It's like, he would be so great if he just blah, blah, blah. And then you start telling him blah, blah, blah. And then he doesn't do it. And you're like, what's wrong with this guy? And there's nothing wrong with this guy. It's just he's not a good match for you. And so if you're attracting guys like that, chances are you're more masculine. And so you're going to, in terms of the masculine-feminine dynamic, you're going to attract a guy who's a little bit more feminine. Which is fine for some women, but those women are marrying those guys. They're not frustrated and saying, why won't he step up? They're like, this guy is great. I love it. He lets me tell him what to do. And then he, you know, stuff like that. And so you want to have a healthy masculine feminine dynamic. Unfortunately, when I'm talking about things like this, a lot of times women hear, if I let him have power over me, then I'll just be a doormat, and I don't want to be a doormat. And so I need to boom, boom. And that's not what I'm talking about either. It's not really an on-off switch. It's more like a dimmer switch. And there's a healthy masculine feminine dynamic that feels natural and normal. And one of the ways you can look at, like, am I being too masculine, is, are you feeling like exhausted? Does your whole life making you feel exhausted? And that's because, look, a lot of people, you get tired from work, right? Whether you have physical work or intellectual work, you get tired from work. But what if your whole life is making you feel exhausted, overwhelmed, frantic, frazzled? That's because you're in that masculine mode all the time. And so for a man, for a healthy masculine man, being in masculine mode is uplifting. It's energizing. It's powerful, you know? For a woman, she can do that for a period of time, but she doesn't want to live in that place. Mm-hmm. It's like, you want to be able to draw that out, use it where you need it. You got to, you know, you got employees, you got supervisees, you got coworkers, you got, you know, your business, your projects. You have to push and make things happen. That's totally natural. But if that feeling, that energy is what you're bringing into your personal life, you're going to have a feeling within you of being just exhausted, overwhelmed. So you're like, God, wouldn't it be great if I could just relax? And not relax and have just everything go to pot, but like relax and have him handle stuff. You know, one of the things that Lara tells me is the most attractive thing for her is when I say, I'll handle it. And then I do, right? Not just I'll handle it and then I just let everything just fall apart, but like I'll handle it. And then, you know, it gets done. And so she can relax, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, that requires a little bit of letting go, because maybe I won't handle it exactly the way she wanted it handled. But what does she want? Does she want something done in a certain way, or does she want to have peace and love and a healthy relationship? And it's really about prioritizing the most important things in life and recognizing that, you know, having every little thing done a certain way may, you know, help you check off boxes, but it's not going to help you have a better life. It's just not, because, you know, in life, especially modern life, you're never going to have your to-do list completely done and everything locked down tight and stuff like that. Right. So it's really about allowing yourself to get into that place where you can flow in and out. And women that work with us, they start to learn that flow of in and out, where you like kind of draw out that power, that masculine power that you need, but then you can put it away and live in your feminine. Whereas for a man can live in his masculine and then at some points be in his feminine, but he wants to live in his masculine. But as a woman, you want to really live in your feminine and then draw out that masculine when you need it. And if you're exhausted and overwhelmed, you're probably the reverse, and that's never going to work. And the evidence of that not working is all these guys that you're attracting, and that lets you know, I'm feeling this way, I'm attracting this type of guy, I'm probably too much in my masculine. And the answer is not, well, I'll just sit back and do nothing. The answer is to utilize a certain approach that you do to problem solving in your work and projects and getting things done, and approach that in your personal life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is so important, what you just talked about, and a couple of things came up for me. One is, I'll definitely echo Lara in saying it's incredibly sexy when my husband says he'll handle it, and then he does handle it. But coming back to what you said, for a woman, that requires us to be receptive to receiving what he offers and taking him up on it when he offers to do something. And also, it's important for us, as you said, to let go of that control over not only having him handle it, but having him handle it in exactly the way or time frame that we envision we would handle it. And that's one of the things that I've had to learn, Johnny, in my now almost 13 years of marriage, is that my husband sometimes said to me in our early days of being married, he said, okay, you can ask me to do something, or you can tell me how to do it, but you can't have both.
That's awesome. I never heard that, but that is spot on. Right. If you want me to do it, let me do it. And then acknowledge me for doing it, even if it's not exactly the way you did it. But that helps. Like, what do you want? You want to have a certain thing done, or do you want to have a happy marriage? You know? Mm-hmm. So not that means that we just, you know, let things go to pot. But just like, you know, if you want to attract a grown man, you've got to treat him like a grown man, not like a boy who you're going to like tell him this, tell him that. That's going to be exhausting for you, and it's going to be emasculating for him. And a healthy man, he's not going to stick around for that. He's just not. He's going to be like, forget it. Let me go find somebody else who thinks I'm awesome, you know?
Right.
So, like you want, right? You don't want some guy who's telling you do this, fix that, just stuff like that. Like, you want a guy that really thinks that you're awesome from minute one. And so that's the idea. And not because you're a perfect person. So that's like a thing that a lot of time perfectionists, which we work with a lot of, perfectionists think, okay, I have this perfect and that perfect and this perfect, and then he'll love me. And that's not how it works. You've got to love yourself. That's why we talk about being your own soulmate first. You've got to love yourself and think you're awesome. Now, again, not because you're a perfect person, but to get in touch with the fact that you are far from a perfect person, and you still deserve love. Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful thing, because Laura and I have been together, been married 17 years together, 13, been together 18 years. We've been working with women for 13 years. And what we have seen in our personal life is the to-do list of fixing myself and trying to be a better person, that's never done. Fixing myself is not even really the right word, but just trying to be the best person. I always want to be a better husband, a better father. But that's not because anybody's telling me that I'm wrong or bad or need fixing. It's just because I want to be my best self, and Lara too. And so that is the energy that you want to go into a relationship with, which is like, I'm awesome. And if you see that I'm awesome, then maybe we may have something here, but I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. So you can't hold a person to a standard that would drive you crazy yourself. Like, they have to say everything right. They have to do everything right. And that's not to excuse you know, boorish behavior or someone being disrespectful or unkind. It's just like nobody's going to do things exactly the way you think, because even in our own head, we don't do things exactly the way we think they should be done, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think this ties in nicely to what you were talking about too, in terms of femininity, because to me, when I think of femininity, that encompasses both softness and strength.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And it also includes a certain amount of vulnerability. And when I think of vulnerability, it's a pretty broad definition, but part of that is allowing someone to really see you for who you are, from the heart, from the soul. And it's not just about revealing your weaknesses, but it's about revealing your hopes and your dreams. And I think that when we show up that way as women, it also creates the safety for a man to show his real side. So in other words, it creates an opportunity for deeper intimacy. And I just think that's a really important part of this whole equation. It's like you said, it's not about being perfect. It's about being real, because at the end of the day, I think our deepest desire, all of us, is to have someone love us for who we really are, with all of our real and perceived imperfections, as well as what we might consider to be our best or highest strengths or qualities.
Absolutely. And one of the things that is so attractive is for a man is a woman who is strong, doesn't need him, but is voluntarily vulnerable and not needy. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we already know, ladies who are watching, we already know that you don't need a man. What's the evidence of that? You're alive, you're surviving, you're thriving, you're doing great in certain areas. So you don't need to bonk him over the head with the fact that you don't need him. Right? That case is proven, stuff like that. So what you want to do, though, is recognize and really get in touch with, you want a man, a healthy, masculine man who is interested in you. Like, a healthy relationship is where both sides feel like they got the better end of the deal, right? So I feel like I got the better end of the deal. Lara's amazing. She's incredible. She's the woman of my dreams and beyond. But you know what? If she were here, she'd tell you the same thing, that she got the better end of the deal. I'm a dream come true, stuff like that. Not because she's perfect or I'm perfect, but we're perfect for each other. And so a woman who is strong but voluntarily vulnerable is extremely attractive to a healthy, masculine man. A woman who is strong and like bonks guys over the head with how strong and how much she doesn't need a man is only going to attract the kind of man who would step into that, which would be not very masculine or not healthy, who would say, I'll put up with that. And nobody wants to feel that they're just an ornament in your life. Everybody wants to feel that you're important to them. And so that's what a man wants. I want to know that I'm important to you, not because you need me, but because you want to be with me. And then you create a healthy interdependence with one another. Mm-hmm. So there's certain things that I don't really do much anymore because Lara handles it for me because she likes doing it. And there's certain things that Lara doesn't do much anymore because I handle it, and that's fine. She doesn't have to prove anymore that she can do it, you know, any more than I have to prove that I can do it. There's a healthy interdependence where we let ourselves be vulnerable enough to say, can you just keep doing that? Like, you know, so, and it doesn't have to follow along like traditional gender lines. It's just like, I take out the trash. Lara hasn't taken out the trash in years. But I'm not really so good with driving directions. I'm from New York City, grew up on the subways. I didn't drive and have a car. I didn't have a driver's license until I was 25. And so I can't even find my way home. So I need to have Lara telling me, or now GPS telling me, where to go. And so I'm voluntarily vulnerable in that area. And she's voluntarily vulnerable in that she doesn't really fix stuff around the house. She just tells me this thing is broken now. Has she done that? Yes. Can she do that? Yes. But she doesn't like want to anymore. She's like, wants to hear me go, I'll handle it. And that's it. And then it magically shows up. She gives me credit. She acknowledges me. And that's great. The same way for me. She does things for us that, and for me, that I'm just grateful for. And it's not like I have to prove to her that I can do it. I already know that I can do it. I lived on my own, you know, stuff like that. So it's that strong and voluntarily vulnerable that really allows you to bond together. And you have to know yourself. You have to know yourself well enough, you know, and have the emotional maturity to recognize that having a relationship is actually really important to me. Because there's nobody who wants to walk into your life when you're busy asserting that, hey, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, who wants to feel like that? It's like, you know, just think about that. Going out to, you know, dinner with a friend. You want to go out? Hey, if you go with me, you go with me. If you don't, you don't. Either way, I don't care. Like, no one's going to want to say, yeah, I want to hang out with you. They're going to be like, get away from me then. I'll go with somebody who actually wants to be with me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that brings up a really important point. And that is also, it's important to consider what's going on in your mind and what your real perceptions and feelings about men in general are, because here's no big surprise. Men like women who like them. And a man can sense if there's a lot of negativity or a preconceived idea that all men are jerks or bad or whatever.
Absolutely. A healthy man can feel, are you basically treating him like a suspect or are you treating him like a prospect? And if you're treating him like a suspect, he can feel that. Now, as men, we may not be able to articulate that. We may not have the words in our emotional language to articulate that. It's just a feeling of just like, you don't really like men and I'm one of them. And you're basically putting me under a microscope and looking for where am I going to do a misstep. And nobody can live up to that kind of scrutiny. You can't live up to that kind of scrutiny. You know, nobody can. And this is where we want to recognize that, like you said, are there guys out there that are jerks and should be treated like suspects? Yes. But if that's all you're seeing, that's on you. Because let's say there's a room of 20 single guys in your age range that in geographically, you know, favorable, right? And there, these 20 single guys are in the room. 15 of them are complete knuckleheads, jerks, guys who are wrong for you, whatever, players, cheaters, whatever. Three of them are really good guys. Two of them are dreamboats. So what is the difference between whether you get a date with and have a relationship, one of the 15 guys, the majority of the room, or the three good guys, or the two dreamboats, twice as many husbands as you're looking for? What's going to make the difference? You. That's it. You may think it's because of your age or, well, if I weigh 10 pounds less, none of that stuff matters, because there's an energetic of a woman who's like, you know, on an energetic match with those 15 knuckleheads, so they can continue the process of complaining about men. And they would be factually accurate to say most men are blah, blah, blah. But how's that gonna help you? It's not gonna help you. Most men in this room are knuckleheads. Uh-huh. And is that what you want? No. Well, then let's not focus on that. Try to figure out how you can actually get with one of those five guys. Or, oh my God, one of the two dreamboats. That's what working with us does. That's what working with you does, is like help you change your view. So what you see is still accurate. Yes, you're going to see those 15 knuckleheads, but it's like, I have this mug here, right? This is my mug that gets shit done. So I'm going to drink water in here, but I'm not going to eat this. It's not food for me. So when you are out there and you see the 15 knuckleheads, you treat them like eating a mug for food. Like, that's just not food for me. That's just not for me. And when you allow yourself to get into the place, you've had breakthroughs around your inner blocks of love. You've had emotional maturity. You learn new practices, principles, tools, all stuff that we teach in our courses and programs. I know you do too, Michelle. When you do that, you have an emotional maturity and preparation for healthy love that allows you to look at those 15 guys and just be like, just move on, just keep moving, because I'm focusing on these five guys and trying to figure out who's going to be the right fit for me. And like, we provide a framework for doing that, you know, stuff like that. Like, basically looking at the abundance of, there's five good guys, five times more than you actually need and want in your life, instead of the 15 guys who are just like, they're totally not even in the picture. They're not even worth spending time on. But if you allow yourself to get hooked into them, that's on you, right? Because they may be knucklehead to you, but they may be a dreamboat to somebody else. But for you, they're knuckleheads. So don't spend time with them. And that's not about treating them like a suspect and trying to eliminate them as quickly as possible. That's how you show up. soon as you walk in the room, you're either energetically attracting them through your words, through your energy that you're putting out. There's so many things that women say to men that give them the impression of like, okay, I see you're treating me like a suspect here. And that's just not going to be attractive to a healthy guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very well said. And I appreciate your passion about that, Johnny. So I want to swing back around just for a second, because I know for a lot of women, this whole balance of masculine energy, masculine, feminine energy that we kind of started with feels a little bit nebulous, you know, and we've talked about some of the keys here. But one of the things that I want to make sure people don't think we're saying is that we're not just saying, sit back, wait for it to happen. You know, there's these myths out there where people will say, well, love happens when you're least expecting it or when you're not looking for it.
This is so ridiculous. This is old time thinking when women had no power. And so what happens when you're not expecting it? A man who may or may not be good for you lands on you. Yeah, okay, that happened. That was fine. And so for your great grandmothers 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, that was good enough. Sure, that happened. But I want you to think today, like the job of your life will happen when you're not looking for it. You don't have a job and you sit back at home and go, it's going to come to me. Nobody would think that's a smart strategy, right? Nobody would think that like, you're not as fit as you want to be. Well, just sit back and just wait for it to come to you. Like nobody would think that. Everybody would see the folly of that type of strategy. But when it comes to love, you got to remember, you live in a society that benefits economically from your isolation, from your confusion, and from your not having love. Because you know what is an exciting thing for Laura and I to do? Sit around in our living room and talk, and then go to bed early and make love. Like, this is not good for the economy. We're not spending money. We're not doing all things. We're not doing emotional, you know, spending. We're not doing retail therapy. We're not doing that type of stuff. We have our space and our brain focused on and available for our connection with our God, for our connection with our family, with our daughter. These are the things. So there are larger forces at work that are encouraging you to say, hey, don't put any effort on love and relationships, because look, you're living right now in your own place, wherever you're living, right by yourself. And your guy who's out there is living on his place. Economically speaking, for the economy, that's actually beneficial to have you both living in separate places. But when you combine your forces together and you live together with the right person, not just any guy, but with the right person, you save money. I've done the research. You'll actually save yourself hundreds of thousands, depending on your age, even over $1 million by being in a right relationship. So investing time, energy, resources in being in a relationship is good for you. It may not be good for the GDP, but it's good for you. And all of the research and our experience with our clients shows the same thing. You become more successful in your life when you're in the right relationship. Mm-hmm. Very few people can be successful without being in a right relationship. The number one determinant of your happiness and fulfillment in life is your primary romantic relationship. Does that mean that you can't have a great life without a great love? No, that doesn't mean that. What that means is that your most impactful thing is not even your health. It's not even your money. It's not even your career success. It's your primary romantic relationship. And to think that the number one determinant of your happiness and fulfillment in life is something that you should leave to chance, like nobody would say that's a smart strategy. So you want to look at like not what your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, those type of things. You have a unique opportunity today, and that is to marry for love. And so if you didn't take those classes of how to be in a healthy relationship, if you didn't have learning about how to love yourself in such a way that you attract someone who loves you in school, in high school, in college, in grad school, if you didn't have those classes like I didn't, like you didn't, that's where Michelle comes along. That's where we come along. It only makes sense to invest in that level. I'm a big sports guy. Every athlete at the professional level doesn't wait until they become a professional to invest in coaching and getting guidance and stuff. the reason why they're at the professional level is because they've been getting coaching and guidance outside of themselves from a long time. So the sooner you get into having expert coaching, guidance, to see your blind spots, to help you with with areas where you're weak, you're going to be more successful in what I believe, and every spiritual text supports that, everybody's experience, all the research, top five regrets of the dying prove, is the most important and the most important thing in your life, throughout your life and at the end of your life, is love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important, so important. And I think it brings up another myth here, which is that we should just automatically know how to be successful in relationships. I mean, you know, my journey was filled with speed bumps and potholes. My journey to love, I didn't meet and marry my husband until I was 43. And I think it's that way for a lot of women. And yet, it's almost like we think we should know this by osmosis. And I think the beauty of what we're privileged to do in the world, Johnny, is that we get to work with women in many situations just on areas that are quite nuanced. But these little tweaks, if we come back to the athletic comparison that you gave, just these little tweaks, you know, for an athlete can help him, you know, increase his percentage of free throws, for example.
Yeah.
And it might just be the smallest thing in the way he stands or the way he holds the ball or whatever. And the same thing applies here with the women that we work with. Sometimes just the smallest tweaks in this area of nuance that we work with women in sometimes can make the biggest difference and can make their experience in interacting with men so much more satisfying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that idea of, you know what? I lost my train of thought. So continue.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. So Johnny, I just have a couple more questions for you before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. One is I want to ask you, besides the idea that there's no good men out there, which we hear all of the time, what do you think are one or two other misconceptions that women have about men in general? And I know we're speaking in general terms here.
Sure.
But since
sure.
This is the man panel, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I'm going to first just speak to what you said before, the idea of like that we should know this already. This is actually a form of self-hatred. It's a form of like whipping yourself. And you can't whip yourself into enlightenment. You can't whip yourself into love. How should you know this already? Like, what classes did you take? What models did you have? Chances are you took no classes on healthy love and relationship. You took trigonometry, you took calculus, you took science and things that for most people, myself included, you're not using on a daily basis, but you spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours on something that is completely useless to you, but you had no classes on healthy love and relationship. How? Like, you wouldn't tell yourself, I should know trigonometry already. Why? Mm-hmm. Where did you learn that? And sometimes you're like, well, I should know how to cut an apple. I've seen my mom cut an apple 100 times, then I should know that. Great. Did you have really healthy, wonderful role models at home and in your uncles and aunts and on TV and radio and movies? Did you have healthy relationships, models for you everywhere and in the music you listen to? Chances are no. In fact, you had unhealthy relationships modeled for you, and that has become the norm. You see it everywhere. You learn nothing in a class. The only thing that would happen in that scenario is chances are you're not going to be very good at that thing. And if that thing is love and relationships, please be kind to yourself and recognize you simply didn't learn something. Are there some people that they don't need to take any classes and it just lands on them? Yes, it does. Just like some people, they don't have to do anything and they're athletically gifted and they just like are amazing and stuff like that. Good for them. Good for the people that they meet their sweetheart at age 22 and they live happily ever after. Bless them. But you know what? That ain't me. That isn't you. That wasn't Laura's experience. That's not our client's experience. Our experience is you go around the block, you screw up, you go, oh my God. Then you go around the block again, you screw up again. You're like, uh-oh. You go around the block again, you screw up again. You have your starter marriage maybe, you know, whatever the thing is, or two or three. And you go, okay, maybe I should learn something different. Maybe something else is going on. Maybe I have something to do with this. And that is actually a scary but an empowering thing, because when you think that you have something to do with it, then you can control that. You can do something about that, right? You can't do anything about, you know, the world is going to pot, guys are screwed up. You can't do anything about that, right? You ain't God. You can't do anything about that, but you can do something about shifting your understanding, like going back to what you said about like the athletics. I'll give you an example. Steph Curry, my favorite player in the world, for many years had problems with his ankles. So every expert would come in and he would look at how can I strengthen my ankles? And then an expert at another level came in and said, it's nothing to do with your ankles, it's your core strength. Now, you would think that has nothing to do with it, right? But it has everything to do with it. And that's why for years and years, he went without any problems with his ankles and stuff like that and became one of the best players in the world. So in your love life, there are things that you think right now has nothing to do with your love life, but I could see, Laura could see, Michelle could see, has everything to do with your love life. And that could allow you to propel yourself quite easily to a whole different level in your life. But if you are controlling the whole process, you're going to keep doing what you've always done. And you simply look back at your track record and say, how's that worked out for me? And if the answer is not the way I'd like, you don't need to beat yourself up. You need to treat yourself like your desires matter, because your higher power put those desires in you, right? Because you are meant to have that fulfilled. And so the desire for love, for healthy relationship, that's not actually in everybody. Some people are like, whatever. If it happens, it happens. But you know what? If you're here looking at the man panel, you're studying with Michelle, you're studying with us, it matters to you. So you don't want to try to, you know, have one foot in the it doesn't matter and one foot in the it does matter. You want to go all the way into this matters to me and I'm going to do something about it. And when you do that, you don't just rely on yourself. You allow yourself to get outside coaching, guidance, expert help, a community, because those things make the difference. There's a reason why everybody who is successful in any area of life has coaching and guidance and experts all around them helping them, because we all have blind spots. We all have areas that we are maybe weak in and need a little extra help. And there's just stuff that you don't know. There's just flat out stuff that you don't know. And when there's stuff that you don't know, if it was just up to you to find it, you would have already found it. You would have Googled it already. You would have found it. And so looking at, okay, get off of the it doesn't matter side of the fence, get into it does matter. And then what do I do? Do what successful people do, which is get help, get expert guidance, learn some things that you don't know, and treat it as it's important, because, you know, time is going by. Nobody's getting any younger. And this stuff really matters. This makes a difference in life, because we don't know how long we have. And so we want to really focus on love and treat it like it matters. And it doesn't mean that the other stuff in your life doesn't matter. It's just reorienting your priorities so that love shows up in the top three things. And so I was kind of addressing the thing before and I forgot your second thing. So tell me that again and I'll address your second.
Yeah, before I ask you again, I just want to say, Johnny, that I really agree with what you're saying here. I think there's actual power in speaking, articulating, and owning that deep desire that you have for a loving, passionate, committed relationship. I think there's actual power in being able to speak it, say it, own it, because I believe we create everything first in our minds and in our hearts. And until we're really deeply in touch with that, we recognize how deeply we desire that and are willing to speak that and own that, I think there's a barrier that will get in the way if we're not in touch with that. So I really just wanted to echo that. Mm-hmm. And my question was, what do you think, besides the fact that there are not any good men out there, what are one or two other common misperceptions that you think women may have about men? And I know we're speaking in general terms here.
Yeah, one of the misconceptions is that men don't care about love as much as women. Now, it is true that it is different. It is true that it is different. And for a woman, a relationship is a higher priority. And that's actually a healthy place. Women are the ones that can give birth. I sure hope that the one who's developing the human and feeding that human has a higher priority on everything related to that area. So that makes sense, right? This is the way our creator made us. That makes sense. Now, that doesn't mean that's all that's important to you, but it makes sense that like a relationship is a high priority. It is love is actually very important to a man. It's just for slightly different reasons. But it is very important. If you went to bed last night dreaming of the woman, the man of your dreams, there are good quality men out there that went to bed last night dreaming of the woman of their dreams. But our dreams as men and women are a little bit different. And so by affirming that it doesn't matter to men, that men only want sex or something like that, what that does is that pushes away healthy guys because you're painting everybody with a broad brush, and it's a broad brush that is not helpful to you. And so just understanding that men do want love, that may not look like what you talk to your girlfriends about. One of the things that women that work with us appreciate is they get to hear from Laura, from me, so they get a masculine, feminine. But the idea is men do want love. It just may look a little different than you, but like if you're a woman, like the women that we work with are have a certain level of emotional maturity. They want a committed, monogamous marriage. And so if you want, and not like partners, not like let's be boyfriend and girlfriend, they want to be married, they want a husband, they want to be a wife. These things are important. You want to allow yourself to recognize that that's important. And there's a man out there. In fact, there's a lot of men out there. They want a committed, monogamous marriage, you know, because guys, we can see all the news stories about all the, you know, crappy guys out there. And us good guys, we're like, that's not me. So we want to, one of the very fulfilling things is that our live events, we have women come back who volunteer, who are graduates of our course and programs, come back to volunteer. And occasionally they'll even bring their husbands. And so it's great for us to, you know, meet and get together. And so the husbands, we're all like, we're the good guys. I know there's a lot of knucklehead guys out there, but we're the good guys. And so we're like, it's a bonding thing. And us guys that are excited about and thrilled about our wives love that about our life. And so it may look different. It may talk a lot about sports and stuff like that, but having a partner in life, our wife is exhilarating because it helps a man feel like a man. And if that is a foreign concept, that a man would want that to feel like a man, not from just getting laid, but from being with a woman who's an awesome woman who actually chose him, this elevates a man's stature. And there's a communication among men that we do when we see you've got a woman who's an awesome, independent, strong, cool woman who loves you and picked you, it elevates men among men. And so just so you don't think it's some altruistic thing, we all want to feel good. We want to stand up strong, puff our chest out and stuff like that. And to have men acknowledge each other, like, yeah, you got some good things happening there. That's a wonderful thing. So, you know, if you're going to paint with a broad brush, imagine that there are so many guys, because it's true, there are so many guys out there who are looking for their wives, looking for the right woman for them, looking for you. You've just got to get yourself in the position where you can see him and he can see you, like really see you, not like hiding and stuff like that, but really, really see you. And that goes back to like treating him like a prospect, not like a suspect, and all the things that we teach in our courses and programs and you're learning here in the man panel.
Thank you so much, Johnny. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your male perspective on that. I think it's important for women to hear. And I'm blessed to be married to one of the good guys. And that's a great gift and blessing in my life. And one of my intentions with this series is to help reinforce the belief in the minds of women that there are good men out there who care deeply about women, who want the best for them, and who want to be in partnership with them. So I appreciate you being a living, breathing example of that, and really appreciate your generosity and sharing your wisdom. And I know that your free gift actually goes along very nicely with this whole idea of the man panel and that there are good guys out there. And you want to tell us just a little bit about it?
Absolutely. So a few years ago, one of the, we just happened to, Laura and I were around with a bunch of men and women. And a lot of the women were talking about, there's just no good quality guys out there. And we're like, men of quality really do exist, let me tell you. And what was born of that is like, I said, look, I could just get on my phone right now, I could call up a bunch of guys that are good quality men and talk to them, and you'd learn something. And that turned into a video series, a documentary series that we've now updated and stuff like that to include new men and different perspectives. And this it's a four-part documentary series, and I'd like to give it to you because you're here on Michelle's Man Panel. I'd like to give you this documentary series, Men of Quality Do Exist. And it's an opportunity to hear from Laura and I teaching you how to get into the position to be attractive to a guy like that, and also hear directly from these men. Like just random guy, not random, but we know them all personally. But I just mean like they're not experts or anything like that. They're just like guys, but they're the good guys. And you get to learn a little bit about how they think and how it's different than the knucklehead guys that may seem like they're the majority. And who knows, maybe they are the majority, but who cares, right? You want to find your good guy. Well, you got to get into the mind and in the heart of these men of quality and really know how they think and stuff like that and hear from them. And so we've brought them to you. It's not fancy. It's not like a professional Hollywood production. It's just us talking to these guys, me talking to them, and then Laura and I teaching you some stuff. And I want to invite you to join us. This is not something that we're giving away to anybody else. It's just because we have such a great professional relationship with and really personal friendship with Michelle that we wanted to give you the Men of Quality Do Exist documentary series just for you.
Thank you so much, Johnny. And for all of you listening, just be sure to click on the link below the audio or the video that you're listening or watching from to access Johnny and Laura's video series. And I've watched it myself. It's excellent, and I think it will be very valuable to you. And Johnny, we really appreciate you sharing that with this audience. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And just so you know, just technologically, it'll be available for 90 days. So 90 days from this, but that's more than enough time. And don't wait 90 days. There are four videos. Just really make it important to watch all four of the videos and get the most that you possibly can out of it, because we'll start to really shift and change your perspective and allow you to start to get into the mindset of like, hey, there are a lot of great guys out there. And that right there will help open your eyes to like making this a higher priority, because you don't feel like you're searching for a needle in a haystack. You're searching for like guys that are just walking around and stuff, but you just haven't seen them before. But, you know, start really taking this journey more seriously and become what we call a student of love. And you'll start to see an abundance of them, and your life will be transformed and in many ways, way beyond what you can even imagine right now.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And ladies, also be sure after you click on the link to get Johnny's free gift and Johnny and Laura's video series, also scroll down on the page and check out the Man Panel VIP upgrade package, because along with the recordings of all of these conversations with these amazing men, there's some other really significant and valuable bonuses that will also help support you on your journey to love. So I invite you to take a close look at that and choose the upgrade package, because there's a lot of benefit in being able to review this material, listen more than once. So Johnny, I want to thank you once again for your generosity and for your time and for your support of my work and for the Man Panel and for showing up strong for the ladies here today. Really appreciate you so much, my friend. Lots of love to you and your wonderful wife and daughter, and just really appreciate your presence in the world and in my world, because you've become very dear to me over the years. So not to get all sappy on the video, but I love you, man.
Oh, you know what? And I love you right back. Laura and I just think the world of you and are so honored to be a part of your mission and what you're doing, and love your support of us. And, you know, this is our secret plan to take over the world with love at the centerpiece instead of all the other nonsense out there, you know?
Amen.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Johnny. And thanks, ladies, for joining us. Hope to see you for more of the Man Panel. Bye-bye for now.